After that attack, in the summer of 1941, the Russians and the West entered into what can only be called an alliance of convenience. It made as little ideological sense in a way as the Nazi-Soviet pact had done. And mistrust would linger on through the war. Each side feared that the other would make a separate peace with the Germans all the way through the war. If one reads the secret communications between Roosevelt and Stalin, or between Churchill and Stalin, two themes always emerge. One is Stalin's utter mistrust of the West, his conviction, his fear that at some point the Allies were going to strike a separate deal with the Germans, and simultaneously a Western concern, a Western fear that one sees in 1942 and beyond that the Soviets might make their own deal with the Germans. This was linked in many ways with Stalin's relentless attack on the Western Allies for their failure to open a second front. One gets the impression that during the Second World War that Stalin couldn't begin a sentence in dealing with Roosevelt and Churchill without beginning, where is the second front? Where is the second front? Where is the second front? What's going to happen to relieve pressure on the gallant Red Army? There was a barely concealed sense in the Soviet Union that the Western Allies were willing to allow Russian troops to die by the hundreds of thousands, indeed by the millions, before they were ready to intervene. Stalin's demand, supported by the United States, for a cross-channel invasion, a direct assault on Festung Europa, the Fortress Europe, Hitler's Fortress Europe, was only formally agreed to at the Tehran Conference in November of 1943. Churchill had really dragged his feet about this. The British emphasis on a Mediterranean strategy during the war had meant that the British seemed not only reluctant, but there seemed to be, in fact, something more at work, that the British did not want to launch this cross-channel invasion until the chances of success were absolutely overwhelming, with the consequence, of course, that the second front that Stalin had so long desired would come only in the summer of 1944. The D-Day invasion at last satisfied Stalin, but by this time, the Red Army had absorbed absolutely staggering casualties and was beginning to roll westward. The Soviet juggernaut would gain momentum as it moved west. And this was done really before the Second Front had a chance to have its impact on the Germans. For the West, the Soviet failure to come to the aid of the Poles in the Warsaw Uprising in the summer of 44 also was an important factor. The Russian army seemed to stop short of Warsaw. There was an uprising there by resistance forces, indigenous resistance forces that were not part of the communist resistance forces, and the Soviets seemed to stand by. They certainly didn't move in to help the Poles, whether this was political design, politically motivated, whether it was because the Russians had reached the end of their supply capabilities and so on, would remain a source of contention during the war. But it seemed as if the Russians, by the summer of 1944, were very clearly operating with their own political agenda and were already looking toward, past the defeat of Nazi Germany, though there was still a great deal of dying to be done, toward the construction of a post-war Europe. The fate of post-war Europe, the political contours of post-war Europe, sealed at two wartime conferences, extremely important ones. At Tehran, as we've seen, in November of 1943, the Western Allies had agreed to invade Northwest Europe, leaving the Balkans and Eastern Europe to the Red Army. Then at Yalta, in February of 1945, a conference which has lived in controversy, historical controversy, since the end of the war, the Allies formalized the zones of occupation for what was clearly going to be the most controversial aspect of post-war Europe, and that was, how does one deal with Germany? What's going to happen to Germany? How will a post-Nazi Germany look? Zones of occupation had been discussed before. At Yalta, they were formalized.